Continue on with that in consideration of words and scriptures for the younger men in this congregation. I recognize that as we consider these things, there are those that have dual roles, dual situations, some younger that serve and some older that serve, and so doesn't leave really anyone out as we are going through and looking at what God's Word has to say. There are instructions for each and every one of us that needs to be recognized. Not only instructions, but I think also responsibilities. I think what we've been seeing in the series of lessons, there's responsibilities for each and every one of us. You know, so often I think the only qualifications that are considered are those of the shepherds, of the elders of a congregation, and the other qualifications sometimes are overlooked for the rest of us. But they exist, and we've been noticing that as we go through. We have begun at the same place for several of these lessons in connection with the point that I want to make. And if I'm not stressing it enough, let me just put it in words a little bit more clearly. We have elders of this congregation. They lead and they shepherd us and they protect us and they nurture us through God's Word. We selected them. And again, as I have made mention to the fact that even if you place membership after the shepherds were recognized in this congregation, you knew who they were, and in coming in, you have given your approval to them by placing membership in this congregation. We are to respect them. We are not to harm their reputation. We are to follow their lead. And if we do anything other than that, really we make accusation, first of all, against God, but also accusation against our own wisdom for choosing them or choosing to be led by them. I just fear that in congregations today that there's not the proper respect that needs to be paid to elders of a congregation. I'm not talking about putting men upon a pedestal. I'm not talking about worshiping men. But I'm talking about that God-ordained organization of the local congregation that we all need to recognize with God's infinite wisdom involved in the fact that He has always, from the beginning of time until time is no more, He has always chosen people, men, to lead. And that is, of course, the work of a shepherd and the work of shepherds in the collective in every congregation. And I hopefully now after about four or five times of this, you've come to understand my feeling about that. And I'm hopeful also that you recognize the dangers that exist. If there is murmuring in the background, if there's discontent, if people begin to question the wisdom of the eldership, and I'm not, again, talking about anything that is not in accordance with God's will, that must be addressed. If we have an eldership that is leading us against what God's Word says, that's different. But yet, if we are being led in the right way with the men that we have said have the wisdom to lead this congregation, we need to follow them. We need to do that. And that's the initial words then really for each and every one. And you'll see it again next week as we address the younger women of the congregation. It just needs to be said. Matter of fact, it needs to be repeated. It needs to be adhered to. When we look at the words for the younger men of the congregation, I go, first of all, to Titus, the second chapter, verses 6 through 8. And in that reading that Warren gave for us in the litany of passages that I had for him, I appreciate him reading for us, this statement is made, first of all, in verse 6. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. And there's a reason for that. First of all, when we look at that word self-controlled, it is from the Greek word sophroneo, and that is to be of sound mind, to be in one's right mind, to exercise self-control, to put a moderate estimate upon oneself. Think of oneself soberly, to curb one's passions. All of that is really contained within that thought. And where we have that thought, I know why it is that Paul addresses Titus to teach these things in congregations, that young men be self-controlled, especially where you look at the definition that is given of that particular word, to be of sound mind. And there are so many things that glitter and sparkle in this world today. In other words, another way to put it, there's a lot of chrome that is out there. to catch our attention and to turn us away from sound teaching and sound truth, and especially the young men where they can get caught up in that. And that thought is there as is presented within the Word. And then also the thought is there under that definition that it gives 1B1, to put a moderate estimate upon oneself. Think of oneself soberly. And I know it's hard for you to understand or even possibly believe, but I remember what it was like to be a younger man. And I'm sure that all of us that are older remember what it's like to be a younger man. And honestly speaking, I'll just speak from my standpoint. I thought I was indestructible. I thought that I could conquer anything. I thought really that I was in control. And as time goes on, that will be driven from you as your body begins to betray you to some extent. And your body will do that. But it is an urging that is given here to Titus to teach to the congregations. Don't wait for later for that realization to come about, but realize it now. Realize it now. And to think soberly. And I like this thought in connection with that, to be in one's right mind. And that is to put priorities first. And I can tell you, just making confession, I wasn't the father that I should have been in my early years. And I regret that. And there would be things that I would change if I could go back and do it over again. I can't. Those situations exist. But the teaching is now for the younger men, and especially for those that have children. Not all the younger men in this congregation have children. But the teaching is now, because what you are forging by your actions, by your attitude, by the way that you carry yourself, by the way that you show your children, what is the most important? You are forging your children to either be that which is pleasing to the Lord or that which God has no respect for. And when we think about it from the standpoint, when we look back to what the psalmist had to say in connection with children, they are a blessing from God. They do not belong to us. They belong to God. They are given in our trust for us to raise for the Father, for His glory. And we need to recognize that. And we need to recognize the impact that we have on our families and young men that don't have families, on others. Because there are young people that will look up to you, even if you're not a family member, and you may not even have a family. They will look to you by the example that you're setting forth. And I think back to what is stated in Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7, where Warren read for us this morning. And he says there in verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing. He said in verse 2, to know wisdom, instruction, and understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, judgment, and equity. There is an attitude that is being expressed here, that is being urged. And of course, as you remember, whenever you look at this, you have Solomon writing to his son. And wherever you look at this, you have that plea that is being made. Be receptive to that which is known, that which has been experienced by those that are older, and especially in connection with that which is inspired by God. Be receptive to that. Don't turn a deaf ear to that. Recognize the things that really matter here upon this earth. I will tell you. I think that sometimes whenever I was younger, I forgot that lesson. I forgot that lesson. And I engaged myself in endeavors that really didn't benefit the family. Really did not put God first. Really did not put the family first. It was something that I enjoyed. It was something that I felt as though I had some expertise in. It was a sporting activity. That is beside the point. That is not what is important. And young men, especially those with a family, you are training the future. You're training a legacy that you're going to be leaving behind that will make a statement to your beliefs, your conviction, your stand for the truth in what is realized by your children. I know that's generalities, and I recognize that, but yet it is an aspect, a principle of truth. And I urge you, And it says here, as we saw earlier, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. He said, let the wise hear and increase in learning in verse 5 of Proverbs, first chapter. And the one who understands obtain guidance. Here you have a barometer that is being spoken of by Solomon in this. And that barometer of what you are and what your character is seen in that you will increase in learning and obtain guidance. And that is through those that know and through God's word. To understand a proverb and saying the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The beginning of the knowledge is the word of God. And it's not in areas we can attain to in any other thing. Also, I think about what is stated in 2 Timothy 2:22 through 23, whenever Paul writes to his son in the faith. And he says there, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Here's the opposite now to the youthful passions. That which we may think that is important in our life. That which may give us a whole lot of pleasure, a lot of enjoyment. Flee those things, but rather pursue righteousness. That is the right wiseness, the right way of life. Faith, that is faith in God. Love, that is the love that we should show not only toward God, but also to others. And peace, and sometimes that's an issue with young because they may not control their temper the way that they should. And as time goes on, that will be usually tempered out also. Along with those who call on the Lord, and he says, if you do this, you're doing it from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know they breed quarrels. There are those that enjoy a quarrel more than saying hello. Don't be that way. And that's the admonition that is given to Timothy by his father in the faith, Paul. But we also see that is stated there in Titus, the second chapter, verse 6 through 8, this time in verse 7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. I want to point out that I recognize that not every individual may want to teach. Not every young man may grow up to be a preacher. And that is not something that is a requirement of being a Christian. Let me also say that I recognize and I see what takes place, and it's good in one aspect, that we have men that will train young men, preachers that will train young men to become preachers, and that's good. But rather, what the church needs, and I'm talking about as a whole, what the church needs are young men that are trained, that as time goes on, they can fill that place of being a shepherd. And churches need that more than preachers. Because I'll tell you what, if they're trained properly, there will be a point in time where they can bring the word also. They can bring the word also. And again, I'm not knocking the preacher training programs. They're good. But I think that maybe the focus that we need to put more on training young men to think about leadership in a congregation is more important than just training preachers to preach from the pulpit. And so when we look at these words here, we have first of all showing yourself, and that is from the Greek word parakō. And Vincent says this: the phrase occurs to show oneself holy or righteous, wise or skillful, to make himself scarce. That's an interesting aspect to that definition, to make himself scarce. And I think that what Vincent means by that is that it shows one that is just not following the crowd, but one that is really intent on being his own person in connection with, of course, being God's man, and not just following the crowd, but being unique in that sense. Thayer says that that word means to offer, show, or present oneself. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And it's from that standpoint. I fear that young men may have the attitude, I don't care what people think of me. And not only young men, but all Christians. I don't care what people think. Well, we should, and we are to care what people think. And the reason being is that if we're a Christian, we're wearing the name of Christ. We're proclaiming an aspect of adherence to the Savior himself. Not only that, but we are to live as Christians to glorify God and not glorify ourselves, not take care of our own honor, our own reputation, but rather that God's reputation is upheld by the way that we conduct ourselves. And so that aspect certainly is in existence there. When we look at 119th Psalm in verse 9, the psalmist says there, how can a young man keep his way pure? And he's talking about, in connection with what we're saying, by the way that he carries himself, by his attitude that he has, by the character that he has, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word, not by guarding our own reputation and being concerned with that, but rather by guarding it in accordance with God's word. And I'll tell you, I wish that I'd realized this earlier on in my life. The fact is that the younger are held more in high esteem by letting Christ and letting the God of heaven be shown forth in their life than by letting their own pride and their own ideas and their own works come to the forefront. And this is what I think Paul is talking about here to Titus in Titus the second chapter in verse 7. But then he also says to be a model of good works. And that word model is from the Greek word tupos, which means an example. In the technical sense, the pattern in conformity to which a thing must be made. If you carry on down and look at the etymology of this word, it finally gets to the striking of a coin. And the way that coins were made back at this time in the first century, they didn't print them out like they do today in presses. But one at a time, they would take the molten metal, and on the end of the hammer would be an impression of whatever country or ruler or whoever it was, and they would strike then with a very deft blow on that molten metal and then make an imprint on it. And this is really that thought where you look as it comes on now, be a model of good works. And the imprint that is to be seen is that of Christ Jesus. The imprint of being a child of God. And I think that's the point that he's getting to in this. When we look at this in Philippians, the third chapter, in verse 17, Paul says, brothers, be imitators together of me and mark those who walk this way, for you have us for a pattern. Mark those. We're really good at marking those that are unruly, those that teach falsely, those that don't adhere to God's will. But I think that we're a little lax many times in marking those that are good examples to us. And this aspect of what is being taught here, when we put it all together, what Paul is saying to Titus in the second chapter in verse 7 is, be the type of young man that you will be marked so that others will want to follow what it is that you are doing. And that's really the message that I get from this when we look at the words in Scripture that are given to the young men here in verse 7. Be the type of young man that others want to be. Not because of pride, not because of putting things other than God first, but rather in accordance with God's will, because you keep yourself by God's word. It says, in your teaching, integrity, dignity. He says, in connection with this, that you show yourself a model in your teaching, show integrity, show dignity. The characteristic of a thing or a person which entitles to reverence and respect, dignity, majesty, sanctity, honor, and purity. Not because of self, but because Christ Jesus is seen in your life. Think about what is stated by Paul in Romans, the second chapter, verse 6 through 7. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for good and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Here it is, for that which they show forth in their life that they are seeking, well-doing, glory, honor, immortality. Those that seek that. Again, it may not be that every young man in this congregation stand in the pulpit and preach. I've heard prayers expressed this way. that the only Bible that anyone might know is the way that we conduct our life. And whether we stand in the pulpit or not, let it be known someone is looking to you. Someone is noticing what you are doing. Someone is taking note of how you carry yourself, what your character is, what is important to you. And you are a sermon in and of yourself to those individuals that do that. And no one is exempt from that. We all teach at least in that way. And so be the type of young man that God would have you to be in connection with that. We look then in verse 8. Paul goes on and tells Titus to teach this, that they be sound speech that cannot be condemned. In their teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound speech from the word hugeis in the Greek. Sound of a man who is sound in body, to make one whole, restore him to health. Metaphorically, teaching which does not deviate from the truth is the thought that is put forth. Barnes says this, he was to use language that would be spiritually healthful, that is true, pure, and uncorrupted. And whenever I think of this, I think about what is stated in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold on to the pattern of healthy teachings that you have heard from me, along with the faith and love that are in the Messiah Jesus. I know, and it's not just young men, but I see it more often, I think, in young men than I see it in those that are older. I've seen the situation where there's really not interest so much in God's Word, unless it is something that is controversial. Then there's interest. Then there's study that will be done. It's not about that which relates to righteousness and correction and instruction and so forth. But if it is controversial, then there's an interest. Something is piqued in someone's mind, someone's thought. If there's something controversial about, something that I can argue about. And that should not be that way. We should glory in the simplicity of the gospel that is presented to us, and not just those things certainly that are contradictory. As a matter of fact, in many cases, that which is controversial, is that which does not edify. And we should not involve ourselves so much in that. I recognize that we have to teach against false teaching. I recognize that. But at the same time, there are questions that can be answered from Scripture that I will promise you no man can answer in the first place. And to spend time on that and to make points about that and even to be dogmatic about that does not lend itself to building up the congregation and those round about us. We need to be careful with that. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 in connection with that, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. He's not talking about those highly controversial issues there. He's talking about truth and righteousness and justice from God and what it takes to be a Christian and what it takes to live the Christian life. Those base thoughts that are presented to us in God's Word. Be of that type. We see also there in verse 8 it says, so that an opponent may be put to shame by this attitude, have nothing evil to say about us. Ashamed. That word intrepo in the Greek, to shame one, to be ashamed, or to turn about. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. I think that there's been a misunderstanding by some, at least in the way they act, of what this passage is saying. He's not saying, now, if anyone despises your youth, you get all ruffled up and you tell them you have no right in order to do that. Just because I'm young doesn't mean that I don't know what God's Word is, and so you don't treat me with disrespect that way. That's not what is being stated here. He's saying you conduct yourself in a way where because of your youth you are not despised, but rather because of your youth God is glorified, and then you are commended. And that's what he's saying in that passage. 1 Timothy 5, verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Young men, lean on the experience that is in this congregation. We have one man that has preached for nearly 60 years. As far as I'm concerned, he's not through. And so that continues on. And we have elders of this congregation that are older men that have lived and experienced things. And we have older men in this congregation that are not shepherds, but yet they have experience and maturity and knowledge. And just to put it bluntly, they've pretty well seen it all. They've pretty well seen it all. And they can lead you and direct you if you will have an open ear to them. And not only is it something that you should do, it is commanded that you do. And that's really the aspect that's being brought forth. Likewise, you are younger, be subject to the elders. And there he's not talking about shepherds. He's talking about those of maturity. He's talking about the older men and, let me say, women. They've seen it all also. And so you give an ear to them. You give an ear to them. When we look in 1 John 2, 13 through 14, there's a point that's made here. I'll not comment a whole lot upon it because of the last points that I want to make. But he says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, 1 John 2 and verse 13, I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. Let me say about the younger men of this congregation. That commendation that is given here by John, I think, is seen in the younger men of this congregation. I think it's seen. And this congregation is blessed because of it. But always, younger men, realize the importance of overcoming the evil one because he is ever there. He is tireless. And he will pull out all stops to get you because, let me tell you, you are a prize to him for several reasons that we'll comment on in just a few moments. But you're a prize. You are in his crosshairs. I write to you, fathers, verse 14, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. And I think that we have young men that fit this also in this congregation. They're strong. And I'm not talking from the physical aspect. We've got some strong ones as far as the physical aspect is concerned also. But this is spiritual. And I see strength in them. And the reason being is the Word of God abides in them. And they recognize their responsibility. And once again, he repeats this. Anytime I see a repeat in Scripture, I take note. There's a reason for that. And you have overcome the evil one. A reminder once again of where you came from and yet also the danger that is out there. The conclusion to this is this. Young men, you are the future of the church in this city. I underlined that and I bold that for a reason. There are congregations that wear the name as far as what is printed out in front of the building. But their practice is not in accordance with God's word right here in the city. The only stand for the truth and the only ones that are looking for a thus saith the Lord for the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, is this congregation right here. And you are the future of what is going to take place. Will this congregation continue or will it go by the wayside? We are greatly blessed because I've been to many places where you walk into a building that may have one time held 100 to 250. And because of economic reasons, maybe because of other reasons also, the way that people conducted themselves, you walk in and you might have 10 or 12 elderly people, and that's all that's attending there. And here we are. We have such a diverse group. And what a blessing that is. And it's the reason that these lessons, I think, are needful because we have such a diverse group as far as age, not only age, but also knowledge and occupation and just the different demographics that exist. And we're a great cross-section, I think, of society in this congregation. It's a wonderful thing. And I really believe that the future is bright, but it's only bright if you young men, to begin with, recognize that you are the future. There are congregations that are dead and dying because there are young men that do not recognize, or not enough young men recognize, their responsibility of being a Christian. And they are haphazard with their attendance, they're haphazard with their study, they're haphazard with the way that they give support to their own families, they're haphazard in living the Christian life. And those congregations one day will shut the door. And that's a shame. Young men, don't let this congregation shut the doors. Except for one reason. Because this building won't hold anymore. Then let the doors be shut. You cannot be at ease or grow complacent in your responsibility that you have being a young member, a young man, and a member of this congregation and a child of God. You must continue to grow as a Christian. There is not a point where you can say, I've got it. But you continue to grow by performing your responsibilities. There is a great reward because heaven awaits you. When your youth gives up and your body gives out, there's a hope that you have. And to the young men of this congregation, this needs to be said. Thank you. Thank you for being the type of young men that God would have you to be. Setting the example that you set to those in this congregation. Putting the Lord first in your life. Thank you for doing that. Maybe those here this morning that are not children of God. And I hope that as you listen to this lesson and these series of lessons, that you recognize the responsibility that is there for you. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your gender. Matter of fact, in respect to gender, Paul makes this statement, Galatians 3rd chapter, verse 28, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. That's from the standpoint of relationship. And because of that, there's a responsibility for each and every one of those that will be God's people. But if you're not a child of God, there's a responsibility that you have. And that is that from you, God requires faith. He requires you to believe what He says. And that believing upon what He says, He requires you to make a change of mind, which says, I'll no longer serve self, but I'm going to start serving God. And by naming the name of Christ in public, saying that you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you make a commitment to Him. And you show that forth, first of all, then, by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Because you recognize you need to have those sins washed away. You recognize the need for your soul salvation. When you meet those responsibilities, yea, even those commands, you become a child of God, and then you start that life of living it as a child of God. If you've not become a child of God, I urge you this morning. Allow us to assist you in doing that. Allow us to assist you in you giving your life over to the Lord. Maybe those here this morning also that have not lived the life that they should. There's a way back because we have a gracious and merciful God. If you once were a Christian but you've not been living the life of a Christian, confess your faults. Especially in connection with that which is known by all. Confess your faults. Ask for the prayers of the saints. And here we have men that will pray with you and for you. And be restored back with your God, with your Savior, and with brothers and sisters that love you. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.